Okej, jag tänkte börja. Vill bara en gång till påminna att vi kommer att banda ljudinspela det här. Så att de som inte vill komma kommer på band, så får ni hålla tyst. Annars kan alla som inte vill vara med här kan lyssna lite senare. Mest att jag själv har hållit att jag har lite svårt för danska och finska och norska samtidigt, så har jag bett i alla fall att ha grundpresentationen på engelska. Och varför förhindrar att det blir någon slags språkförvirring. Jag tänkte börja med korta presentationer. Jag har tänkt 15 minuter per land. I'll take it in English from now. When we meet the Danes and the Norwegian and our Finnish colleagues in different meetings in ICANN or Center, then it's quite obvious that we are quite different. And we are shaped in a different way, and we have a different way of policy, and sometimes we have a different way of thinking. So we thought it very interesting at the Internet Days this year to just give a highlight of how is it possible that we four small countries up in the north can think so differently about the top level domain and how to run it. We will have four short presentations, about 15 minutes each. We will start with our Finnish colleagues then. .no. Then we have our Danish friends coming over. I will finish off, and then we have hopefully a fruitful discussion. One of the interesting things we will, of course, want to discuss is what is the effect of new TLDs or top level domains on our business. Another question that we would like to talk about is what are the Danes doing? Given that they sent out a request for proposal and a meeting round on their top level domain, and how is it going there? So these type of things, and why is it so impossible for the private persons in Norway to get it or that? No. And I will be easy on the things. So if you start, your presentation comes already up.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. My name is Tuula Veinian-Kulmakaanen, and I represent the Ficora.fi registry. What is Ficora? It's an abbreviation of the name Finnish Communications Regulatory Authority, and we are special in the way of administrating domain names that we are part of governmental administration in Finland. We work under the Ministry of Transport and Communications. The Ficora's goal is generally to act as an administrative authority for issues concerning electronic communications and information society services. So, among other many things, Ficora allocates domain names. We maintain the technical register, the administrative register, and act as a TLD in Finland. The guideline for us, the basis for all the work we are doing, is law, domain name law. It's called the Act of Domain Name. And we also have some technical regulations, Regulation 37E. It's the technical configurations and all the permitted characters for Finnish domain names. But basis for us is law. Here is our organization. In Ficora works approximately 250 persons in Finland. Many profit areas, as you can see, we have, for instance, television fees, radio frequencies, communication markets and services. The profit area I am working and the FIEs is networks and security. There are three other units as well. There is, for example, CERT FI and the IP networks and so on. The organization for us, my unit, the domain names, consists of 13 persons altogether. There's head of domain names. Many of you might have met him. He is called Juhani Juselius. Then there's two technical experts, two legal counsels. I'm acting as a head of customer services. And the thing is that our unit is acting as customer service for the whole profit area, not just for domain names, but for CERT FI, for IP networks, for all the four units in Finland. So we take care of all the contacts that customers, all the questions and all the emails, all the phone calls. And I have six advisories to do that. So how do we distribute domain names in Finland? Many other registries have a system that they have contracts between the registry and the ISPs. We don't have that in Finland. And that is due to the legislation in Finland. The legislation doesn't allow it. We issue all the domain names directly to everyone. The applier can be either a service provider acting on behalf of his customer, or it can be the end user itself. There's no difference which the way is used. We have a self-service system in internet that is the channel taking care of all the applications. Also, a special thing for us is that the price is always the same. We have no possibility of giving any special offers like some other registries do, that now we have a summer special that all domain names in half price. That's impossible for us because we are a public authority. We have to act very equally towards all the parties. So the price is same for everyone. And as I said, the Domain Name Act defines the responsibilities for us and also towards the domain name holder and the service providers. So no profit, I'm afraid, for the domain names. The prices are confirmed every year by the Ministry of Communications and Transport. It's called the decree. And we can propose the price level to the ministry, but the ministry decides what the price for domain names are. For example, this year the price for 3 years has been 43 euros. And we are thinking of lowering the price for next year. So we are proposing to the ministry that it would be 41 euros next year. And take note, it's for 3 years, not for 1 year. Since we launched the internet self-serving system in 2003, when the Acronym domain name was implemented, the prices have reduced every year. And that is because the system was very expensive, but now that we have used it for some time, we can lower the prices. Here is the curve that shows the number of our registrations. As you can see, the growth is very steady. Only one notable part here, which was the time the first renewal happened. Before the year 2003, all the FI domain names that were granted they never went out. They weren't renewed at all. They were just, And you think my voice isn't loud enough? Okay. So But in 2006, after 3 years, we took the internet self-service system, implemented it, so the first renewal happened. And of course, there were many companies that had been bankrupt or not existing anymore, so that's why there's a short drop on the curb at that time. Some key figures. At present, we have approximately 191,000 domain names. We expect to have 200,000 domain names at the end of the year. We only have 9% of private persons, and that is something we are hoping that is growing in the future. It might be due we didn't grant the FI domain names to private persons before the year 2006, and I'm sure they wanted it, but the legislation came only on year 2006. The IDNs as well, only 2%, not very big demand on them in Finland. We launched the IDNs on 2005. Last few years, the annual growth percent has been approximately 20% per year. This year, we expect to have approximately 35,000 new registrations on domain names. Sorry, 38,000. And before we liberalized in September 2003, the growth was very small. We granted approximately 600 domain names every month, but when we did the liberalization, already on first day we got 20,000 new domain names, so it was something the market had been expected. And our renewal rate is approximately 70% at the moment. In the beginning it was very high, it was over 90, but it has been lowering to the, I think it's a very normal level to all the Nordic countries. Some main activities that we are doing on 2009, next year, we are renewing our image in the web pages, in the self-service system, new visual look, a bit better usability. We are launching new validity period, which is 1 year validity. We are improving the process for transferring the domain names. It's a bit stiff process because we want to make sure that the domain name holder has his or her rights protected, but we are easing it up. Also, we are launching a new alarm system. We don't have DNSSEC, which has been the talk of the town nowadays, but we are releasing an alarm system which is comparing the server information and give us automatically alarm if the data on the name servers is not consistent or if it's some corrupted party that has done some changes to it. Also, the self-serving system has now been in use for 5 years and we think it's time to renew it, so we are starting a huge project on November next month. We are taking our time to prepare the offers, and we are preparing to launch the offers to choose the vendor for next summer. Hopefully we have a vendor by the end of 2009. And the reason for renewing the system is also that we want to get the support for the IPv6 addresses. So, some future challenges still. The release of GTLDs might cause us competition. We will see what happens. Also, the DNSSEC is a question. We are keeping us posted what happens in the world. We don't have any timetable for releasing or implementing it. Also, we are a bit worried because, especially in Finland, there is a pressure towards governmental administration because of the productivity programs. They seem to we might not have the
the sufficient amount of people to do all the projects we would like to do, but we just have to do the best we can. Also, as a governmental organization, we have restricted possibilities for commercial activities. We don't have the same possibilities, as I told you. We cannot launch any market campaigns at 5% off or 50% off. And we want, of course, to get more domain name holders, especially the private persons. We just did a market campaign that was focused on the private persons. And then we did also a survey. We wanted to know if the things we are doing are correct. And it gave very good results. The only slight surprise for us was that the younger persons is not a good target area for us, more the middle-aged persons. So that's something we have to think about. We are lowering the fee level, hoping that the private persons will like it, and also the one-year validity period. Also, we want to maintain our reliability by preventing all the fraud attempts and phishing attempts. We are doing some manual checking and other things to do that. And also, I think something that we are very proud of is our customer service. We have a good problem-solving ability, short response time. If customer is contacting us, we are always answering at the same day. And the reason why we have so small personnel is that we are very highly automated, so most of the processes are done by customers themselves. So, this was my presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll continue with Norway now. We'll take questions after the four presentations of the four different registries.
High technical capability. PowerPoint. Okay. As you've already started to see, and you will see even more during these presentations, we are fairly different for being so close to each other. And I'll also start by talking a little bit about who we are and the boring organizational stuff of how we're organized. Because unlike the Finns, we are a shareholders company. And all our shares are owned by another company. This is the company that runs the research network in Norway. And all its shares is owned by the Ministry of Education. So we're kind of partly private sector because we are organized according to private law. We're not part of public administration, but we are owned by the state, which makes people look at us strangely when we try to explain who we are and say, huh? Then, seeing how we're organized, a natural follow-up question is, well, and who makes the rules? Where does this policy thing come from? What is the role of the government in this? What is the role of the sector in this? And we have, well, the answer is complex. We have sort of framework functions that make frameworks. We have operative functions that work within the frameworks. And we have supervisory functions that keep an eye on everything. So it looks something like this. As I said, complex. But if we start with number one here, the government, I mean, they like to be number one. The high-level framework is set by the government. It's set by the Ministry of Transport and Communication, but they do it in cooperation with lots of other ministries, and what they have done is make a regulation. Now, this regulation is set as a high-level framework. It says something about the process that the rules should be made according to, but it doesn't say anything about the details of the rules. It says that any set of rules that are made should be non-discriminatory, cost-effective, and other things like that. but no real detail level. The content of the domain name policy of NO is left up to the local internet community to make. So they make the regulation. Then, of course, in Norway, as in all countries, there is someone keeping an eye on that regulations are made according to proper process. And in our case, that's the parliament. But then the local internet community works within that framework to develop the domain name policy of NO. And now the local internet community is kind of, you know, hard to collect inside a room. It was easy in the beginning because then it was a small group of experts. But today it actually consists of the entire society of Norway. And they're very hard to get inside one room, and they're also very hard to get to agree on anything at all. But we try. So what we as a registry do is we work as a secretariat for the local internet community. We collect proposals and input from everyone. We have a policy advisory body that has representatives from the trade and industry, from the government, from the intellectual property lawyers, etc., from the users. And they sit down and talk every year, often more than once, on what would be good changes, bad changes. If they have proposals for small changes, we just make them. But if they have proposals for large changes, that needs to go through a public hearing so that everyone can comment, because most large changes are one-way changes, and we would like for the society to actually know what's going on. Then we have the Post and Telecommunications Authority in Norway. They have a supervisory function. They keep an eye on the policy development process and see that it goes according to what the domain regulation says that it should. The domain regulation basically says that you have to ask the government and you have to ask the users when you want to make changes. It doesn't say what you have to do with the answers, but you have to ask. And if you're smart, you also follow the answers. Then the Post and Telecommunications Authority also keep an eye on what the registry is doing, that the registry is actually following the domain name policy and that it's following the domain regulation. And then you have us doing something in all this talk. We're running the registry according to the domain name policy and to the regulation. So that's the simple explanation of how the rules work. This system is, well, we think at least it is the best of two worlds. We're trying to sort of grab the good things both from the private sector and the public sector. So we have the domain name policy as a contract between the registry and the user, which makes it much easier to change than a law, which the Finns, I could think, could tell you all about. So if we want to change something because people say that this is not working, we can do that fairly easily. And it's not that public bodies aren't efficient, but they do have challenges in changing and reorganizing and adapting to new challenges. And internet is an area that changes very quickly. So as a private sector organization, we can more easily adapt to that. Also, by leaving the domain name policy in hands of the local internet community instead of setting it in detailed law, the principle of self-regulation has been kept. It's actually the users that are affected by the policy that also have the possibility to make input into it. But, on the other hand, we are owned by the state, so we have stable owners that, well, at least we hope, never would take all our money and run off to Bahamas. We don't really have that much money that the Norwegian state would be interested in it. And that also has placed some important principles about the process in a regulation. And those principles are not easily removed, and they shouldn't be either. So we think, of course, that this is the perfect model, which you will see three other perfect models, but this is ours. There is one drawback, though. It looks really strange to people. The Norwegian sentence here, det røyeste dyr I Noasark, means roughly translated that an animal so strange that Noah probably would have said, no, you're not getting on my boat. It may work very well, But for anyone who hasn't seen it before, it creates confusion. And they say, well, but you are a public entity. You have to. You're following these laws. And we say, no, we're not a public entity, but we do these things because we think it's a good idea and these things because there's the law. And actually, it's a long story. And that's how it usually goes when we try to communicate with people of why we are what we are. So going on to what the rules are, the actual domain name policy. Domain name policies are, in essence, the question of who can get what domain names and how many can they have. And we are a bit other than the rest of the Nordic countries in that area as well. Now, domain name policies have usually two central aspects. They have one is the requirements set to the applicant. Do you have to document a trademark to get a domain name? Do you have to be an organization? Do you have to be local? The more you have of those requirements, the sort of higher on a scale your rate. And then there's the other. Do you get as many domain names as you can fulfill the requirements for? Or is there some sort of fixed limit? And if you can think of that as two sort of scales in a coordinate system, you can think of a domain name policy moving around in that system. There are categories. I'm not going to go into that. If people are very, very interested, they can talk to me in the break. But to start with, in the mists of time, well, before 1997, I think, we were all in one place, Norway, Denmark, Sweden, and Finland. The applicant had to be a local organization. They had to document that they had rights to the name, and they got only one. None of us are there any longer. We moved for some time ago, 2001, and then a little bit further later on. So today we have that you do not have to document rights to the name. You can take any name you like. Of course, if you pick somebody else's name, you will have to deal with the dispute resolution body or the court afterwards. But no, the registry does not check documentation beforehand. You still have to be a local organization. Private persons have a separate second-level domain that has been run by another registry than ORID. And you get more than one domain name, but it's not unlimited. You get 20. Yes, this is it's not a sacred number. It's a number picked out by the local internet community saying that, well, this is a fair size. We think that's good. The others are a bit further on. Denmark and Sweden doesn't have any limits or requirements. Finland, as Tula was saying, has no limits, but they do require local presence. We have also gotten there by a bit different processes, which I won't go into detail on. So, on to the numbers, after all the rules stuff. We have a pure registrar system. It's built on the principle that we are in a very special marketing position as a registry, so we're running only the basic services, and we're leaving everything else to competition amongst the registrars, so they can compete to provide the best price performance for customers. It hasn't always been this way. Before 1999, we had a system where you could either have direct registrations with us, or you could go with the ISPs, but we changed. So today we do not have direct contact with the domain name holder, except when something goes wrong. We have roughly 400 active registrars, give or take a few. Some come new every year, some disappear every year. And then you can see the market share has changed a bit. This is directly after we introduced registrars, because they came in December 1999. And one of the top two here is the registry, because at that time we still had a lot of direct registrations that were standing connected to us. We didn't do registrar services for them, but the customers hadn't moved yet. So we were saying that, well, we're not deleting your domain or anything, but if you want to do any updates, you will have to go and find the registrar. And then during the first year, most of the customers moved, so now we're no longer here in the top two. We're still in the top 10, and the market spread out a bit more. And around 2004, 2005, we changed our billing system as well so that every domain name holder actually had to find the registrar and there was no one left hanging on to the registry. And as you can see, at this point, there's fair spread of the market, more competition here than actually in the telecom market. But in 2008, again, we're starting to see a consolidation of the market somewhat. Pricing. We're a non-profit organization. We give no surplus to the shareholders. They are aware of that, actually, before they got the shares in the company. And it's actually in our constitution as well that no surplus will be taken out and given to the owners. It will only, if we do have surplus, it goes back into improving the service. Now, that doesn't mean that we never make any money, because as a registry, we need a reasonable economic robustness in order to be able to handle emergencies and also to be able to do long-term investments like buying a new registry system or name service or what have you, and not being having to save up for several years until you can do that. But when keeping that much money aside so we can have that robustness, if we get more than that, we try to reduce the prices as the system becomes more and more effective. Now, in the early days, the price was €51, and the process was very manual. We've made it more automatic, more effective, and reduced the price several times, and today it's about €5.7 per year, so fairly cheap. This is the growth of the number of domain names. This actually is when we make the change where that you can have more than one domain name per applicant and that you don't have to document rights to the name. We've got about 400,000 domain names, not that many IDNs, but that's not strange because there's not that many words in Norwegian that actually uses specialized characters. There's still a lot of domain name holders. Most of the domain name holders have only one domain name. And if we go for and look at who has 10 or fewer domain names, that's 97% of all the domain name holders. And that's even given that they can have up to 20. So for most of them, the limit is not really an effect. But because of the limit, we don't have the large portfolios of domain name registrations. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing is a, well, philosophical or moral question. We have a very high renewal percentage of 95%, which is one of the highest in, well, the highest in Europe that we've been able to find, at least. New registrations. This is a logarithmic diagram for the non-mathematical of you, which includes me. This means that straight lines means exponential growth or very, very fast growth. So in the early beginning, we had sort of exponential growth, but with not that high. We have one spike, and that's where the university connects to the net. Then something happens. We have no idea what, that increases the growth a lot. This has nothing to do with the domain name policy because it's exactly the same from the start to the finish of this period. Probably this has to do with the introduction of internet into homes, but we're not very sure. And then we enter a period where we do have exponential growth still in new registrations. We have some small blips here where we do things with the domain name policy. So this tree, this is where we liberalize the policy and allow more domain names, which has an effect exactly at the period where we're doing it, but doesn't really have an effect on the growth rate. And the growth is still exponential, but it's possibly slowing, as you can see at the end, although very hard to say unless we get more data, and that means taking more time. So, 2009. Last part of the presentation. What we're working on is we're one step ahead of the Finnish registry in that we have also decided that we need to renew our registry system, and we're working on it, and it takes forever. but we're really, really expecting to finish in 2009. And what we're doing is we're going for... The old system is still working fairly well, but it's not scaled that well for the future. And since introducing new systems take a lot of time for the registry, and then a lot of time for the registrars to learn the new system, we want to do that before the old system starts breaking down. So we're trying to introduce EPP. We want to build in better scalability. We want more functionality for registrars and for domain name holders. And we want to easier be able to add on new technology like DNSSEC without trying very hard to get it into the old system and then throwing away the old system as soon as we need to get over to the new system. The other thing that we're looking into is domain names for private individuals in the future, because the registry that we're running, the second level domain for private individuals, has said that they don't want to do that anymore, and they've given the second level domain to us. And as a registry, we're then working on looking into, okay, should the private individual still be under a second level domain, or should they be directly under NO? What kind of rules should there be? Can people inherit the domain name? What happens if they go missing in Amazonas? All these, you know, questions that some of our colleagues have solved already, so we're talking to them. And also something we need to talk to the Norwegian local internet community about. And surprise, the organizations and the private individuals are not in total agreement on how to best share this resource. So we're sort of getting signals from different places, and we know that at least whatever we end up with, we will have to make sure that the process has been very good and that everybody has had the chance to give input, because whatever we choose, it will be a compromise. And a compromise means that everyone hates you equally. So that's basically what we're aiming for. Then there's, of course, the new GTLDs, which might provide the challenge for us, but which we will be talking more about in the panel discussion, so I'll leave that. And that's it.
Thank you for these up to now very enlightening presentations. I'm going to tell you something about how we are doing these things in Denmark. I don't think that I'll be able to go that much into detail about what we are planning to do, because we have been in sort of a state of limbo for a period of time, which I'm going to get more into in a little while. This is where we are right now. Dansk Internet Forum, or the Danish Internet Forum, was established in 1999 and owns 100% of the share capital of DK Hostmaster AS, which is a normal Danish aktieselskab regulated under Danish company law. Already at this point, I can say, well, we are not like the Finns, but we're not like the Norwegians either, because we're not like the Finns because we are organized through an aktiebolag or aktieselskab, but we're not like the Norwegians because we are owned not by the government, but we are owned by a private association, Dansk Internet Forum. It is DK Hostmaster that, like Norit or Ficora, operates, takes care of the day-to-day business with respect to the .dk domain. And what is really important to this presentation is that we experienced a public tender for the administration of the .dk domain back in the beginning of this year, and that was won not by us, but by an organization which has not been formed yet, .dk, and the Irish-based international registrar called Afilias, by decision by the Danish National IT and Telecom Agency in July 2008. And every day we are waiting for a decision about whether this administration is finally going to be handed over to Afilias and Dr. K, or whether we are going to retain it. I'll get into that, of course, later on. But the DK Hostmaster AS is the operative arm of our setup. At the moment, there are about 950,000 domain names registered, and the number of unique registrants are 650. I think that Pierre just told me that it's about one-third that are private individuals, two-thirds that are organizations, companies, or associations. DK Hostmaster is an organization with about 24 employees, so it's bigger than the Finnish and bigger than the Norwegians, which has a reason, which I'll also get into a little bit later on. We could, in principle, run off to Bahamas because there are some money in our we have some money in our coffers. The share capital is pretty low. It's the normal nominal capital of a Danish AS or European style AS, which is about 500,000 Danish kroners, or about 67,000 euros. We had a turnover last year of 3.78 million euros. I forgot how much that was in Danish kroners, but it's pretty much about 20 million. Oh, I think so. Har vi ikke 20 millioner euro? 20 millioner danske kroner. Så det er også 3,7. Okay. So I think the turnover is about 20 million Danish kroners, which is about 3.78 million euros. And we have an equity which is around the same amount, about 20 million euros, 20 million Danish kroners, which is about 3.1 million euros. And there's also a reason for that. Then there is Dansk Internet Forum, which is the association, a private association formed under Danish association law, which is an association which has room for members. It could, in principle, be private individuals, but according to our statutes, it's organizations. I'll also get into that a little bit later on. We have there an equity about 1 million euros. And the turnover there, which is only derived from license fee that we get from the DK Hostmaster operation of the right to administer the .dk domain names, is about 416,000 euros, which is basically to cover the cost of running the association. It's a much smaller organization or association. There's only a manager, third-time secretary, and third-time communication assistant. And the Internet Forum is basically dealing with policy and communication related to the .dk domain name. Here you can see how the numbers of .dk domain names have increased. It's more or less the same as we see in the other Nordic countries. I mean, you can see that following the very interesting matrix that you showed in your Norwegian presentation, because we are in a very liberalized mode, we are also one of the areas in the world, or one of the countries in the world, where you have the largest number of domain names per capita. I mean, it's more than about every fifth Dane has a domain name. If every fifth registrant or every domain name was actually registered by an individual. But it's a lot. Dansk Internet Forum is the association that is representing the Danish internet community. This is the way that we look at as a way to comprise the Danish internet community at the moment. It is a very slippery, a very volatile, very expanding, contracting kind of beast. But at the moment, we are covering everything from the large organization called Dansk Industri, which is the Confederation of Danish Industries, which is probably the biggest business organization in Denmark, to Forbrugerrådet, which is the official organization representing consumers, to more specialized organizations like the IT branch, which is like IT Foretagende in Sweden, the IT Association, to a lot of these types of organizations which are much more specialized within the area of the internet and IT in general. From my perspective, I think that there are actually certain groups that are that misses representation more or less because they haven't been forming an association so far, which is the private individual who's a registrant. Because you can say they might be a consumer, they might be a professional, IT professional as part of Dansk IT. But I was one of the co-founders of the Danish e-business association at a time where nobody thought that e-business would actually represented adequately by either the big industry organizations or by the consumer organizations. There needed to be somebody who was very, very focused on that. And the same thing goes for instance, the Open Source Association. At that time, when I was a co-founder of that organization as well, at that time, nobody was really talking about open source. Everybody said that it was part of their portfolio in the IT Association and so far. And you could also argue at this point that in this setting, we need somebody who are specifically talking the interest of the registrants. But this, I think, is the most broad representation of an internet community that you can get at the moment. Here's the story of the history of how we came to be where we are today. Back in 1996, the Danish Unique User Group was in effect delegating, administrating what was .dk at that time. They placed their organization within an aktieselskab called DKNet, which was sold to Tele Danmark. And actually that proceeds today forms the pretty big wealth of that organization. But obviously that was not a very sustainable situation for the internet community as a whole, that the .dk was administered by the monopoly that was exercised by the large Danish telecom, Tele Danmark, at that time. So first, the ISPs at that time formed something called the Danish ISP Association, FIL, Foreningen af Internetleverandører. That wasn't very sustainable either. It was a very closed club, it was obvious that the way that the different domains were delegated was not really about who was deserving them, but who was member of the club. So that was not really a very good type of regulation, except from the view of those members of the club. Then we had regulation that was more or less like we saw in the other Nordic countries. And in 1997, we also experienced our moment of liberalization. In 1998, the Danish Ministry of Research told FIL that they had to get their act together and become more transparent and more open to other interests. And that led into the formation of Dansk Internet Forum back in 1999. I think that you will see that our way of approaching administrating a domain name, a ccTLD, is a little bit different from the Finnish and the Norwegian, because for better or for worse, most of the people involved in Dansk Internet Forum at that time had a legal background, not a technical background. So we didn't focus that much on technical issues, but more on trying to solve the legal issues at that time. I think I'll skip most of these things because we are probably getting to the point where I don't have that much more time, and you probably want to hear about the current situation. But I think there's one thing that is interesting to mention here is that I haven't heard any of the other presentations mention that how to actually solve these disputes. And one of the things that we consider very much a success story of our administration translation is the formation of what we call the Domain Name Complaint Board, which is an individual or separate board comprised of very knowledgeable lawyers and also industry persons that are able to adjudicate on all areas of law related to disputes between domain name holders and people who feel that somebody is holding or using a domain name in some kind of breach with some kind of law, not just a specific body, but all different types of law. The interesting part here is that this body can look at all types of law, but they also have a very interesting sanction. They cannot tell somebody to pay damages or to stop using a domain name or something like that, but they can say, we think that this is in breach of the domain name guidelines, so we now order DK Hostmaster to terminate that domain name, which is probably, in most cases, the most effective sanction. And that works after a heavy caseload in the beginning, now very, very efficiently. It's a very cheap way of resolving these disputes. And even though that this is a private it's a private setup, we're not a court under the Retspleje law, so every decision can be appealed to the normal courts. There are very, very, very few. It's two out of maybe how many? Out of 1,200 cases that has actually been appealed, which is basically because the cases that are decided is decided by a Supreme Court judge, a law professor, and a lawyer. They're the most knowledgeable within this field, so nobody dares really to complain because they know that in the Supreme Court they will probably follow the decision after all. Let me try to get to where we are at the moment. We have tried to work with the Danish Ministry of Research, Education and Science, I think it's called, or Development, it shifts name with every government. It's been a good cooperation. They were instrumental in telling the industry, the community, the consumers to get their act together and on a self-regulatory basis form Dansk Internet Forum. And they have not been representing in Dansk Internet Forum since then. They've been consulted, they've been talked to on an informal basis, they've been briefed about what's happened, but they've not been interfering until we experienced some questioning of our legitimacy with respect to a certain court case, which came about because we, according to our guidelines, expropriated a second-level domain name called co.dk. Due to these, to the disputes arising in the court system, the government felt that it was maybe the time for having a law enacted in this area that made it clear what was the position of the Danish administration of the DK.dk. So in 2003, a committee was set down who released a report in 2004, which became the domain name law in 2005, and the law, to a large extent, is more or less like the Norwegian. It's a framework law, but it's more the administrative setup that is different. But I guess it's more or less the same, that there are some overall principles about fairness, efficiency, community representation, and things like that. And then it leaves it up to the actors within this community to figure out how this is going to be dealt with in daily life and in policy matters in general. The law also stated that in order to secure competition in this area, a public tender had to be made about administration of the .dk domain. And that was stated already in 2005, and had it been expected that this would actually come about immediately, but we've been in a sort of a limbo since 2005, which means that we haven't really been able to make any decisions about all these exciting new projects that our colleagues from Finland and Norway have been presenting. It's not that we haven't been discussing them, because we have more or less a lot of these things on the table, ready to put them to a public hearing if it's decided that we retain the administration. But it's not something that is being concrete because, I mean, if we were going to lose a public tender 3 months or 6 months afterwards, it didn't really make much sense to start initiating a lot of stuff in this area. The domain name appointed DIFU as the administrator in an interim period to make sure that everything was in order. But the tender, as I said, was to secure that DIFU was not going to be a closed, secluded club that on an inefficient basis ran the system in order to make sure that there were some new blood being bred into the system every sixth year. The law stated that a public tender had to be undertaken. The public tender addresses or decides that the decision about who's winning the tender has to be taken, broadly speaking, on two criteria, technical and political. Who can supply a good technical solution and who has the sufficient political backing of the Danish Internet Society or the Danish Internet community. And the process is like this. The winner is chosen by the telecom and the IT and telecom agency on the merits of the technical solution. But afterwards, there will be a period in which the winner has to show that it has sufficient political backing by the Danish Internet community. And the situation was this. There were only two bidders, DIFU and .dk, which was in effect DIFU Hostmaster and Affiliates. The agency made its decision in July 2008 on the basis of a technical assessment and chose Affiliates. And basically the decision here is on a technical level, but also on the administrative and political and legal, whether to choose the shared registry solution that Affiliates is proposing, or the sole registered solution, which is more or less the same as I hear that it's the way that it's done in Finland and in Norway, and as always also done by us in Denmark. There's been a lot of debate about this over the summer, really a heated debate, very, very, in my view, very constructive debate, because it meant that DIFU really had to think about, are we doing things right? We have to really fight for our position if we want to retain that, which is also always very healthy for an organization, and probably also something that an organization owned by a government organization can learn something about. But I think, of course, I'm biased. I'm one of the oldest serving members of the board of DIFU Hostmaster and DIFU, but I think that everybody would agree that there has been shown very limited political support for .dk over the summer. And we're expecting a decision by the agency maybe this week. And I think one thing that is certain is that this will be a decision that is heavily discussed afterwards and probably will also entail some legal battles. At least my opinion is that if DIFU retains the right to administer .dk, I think there's a high likelihood that Affiliates will feel that they have wasted a lot of money in this process and somebody has to pay for that. Yeah.
Thank you.
So you have, of course, the Finnish and the Norwegian that exactly take their 15 minutes, and then we have the Danes that talk and talk and talk and talk. So now you have a Dutchman, which is blonde, and we'll have to keep it very short. So I'll try to have a very short presentation, as most of you are Swedes, so you... You should be a bit more aware about the Swedish situation. We are a foundation. So it's the four registries, four different solutions. We're not state-owned, not indirectly state-owned. We're not an association, we are a foundation. Who owns a foundation? The statutes. Somebody wrote down what we're supposed to do, and from that moment, that's the owner's directive. So if the owner's directive would have been, you have to feed the cats in the inner city of Stockholm, then that would be the owner directive. And then I'm not about feeding the dogs. I'm about feeding the cats. Our statue says very much, I have to take care of the .sc top domain in a good way, robust, stable. And I have to develop the internet in Sweden. Not in Denmark, but in Sweden. So when they actually called us and said, are you interested in .dk, which they actually did, the same as they did in Norway. I said, no, that's not my business. I'm about Sweden, not Denmark. We have about 774,000, I think, right now. We're the largest then with 40, I believe. Right now, let's say the plans for next year, I can look at the budget. It's between 10 and 15 people actually are working on that part that is not the domain business. That's the R&D, it's the event management like this. It's all the different things like internet in the school or internet for all. We have a law of national top-level domains. But apart from that, let's say it regulates very much robustness and security levels. But it doesn't regulate pricing, if I have to work with registrars or not. It doesn't give the state a possibility to put out a tender in that sense. This is what I said. This is the wheel that we are looking very much at. And from our perspective, it's not so much about non-profit or it's ugly to have money. This part, you could say, that is supposed to make money. And that money is then spent on getting all of Sweden as a mystery on the internet. And that in the end would lead to a situation again where we have a beneficial development of the domain name. I skipped that one. That's too complex. But let's say what it gives, every year we decide together with our board our strategy, and it means also a strategy on what are we going to do. Do we all consider ourselves only as a registry for .se, or do we consider us as a supplier of DNS or a supplier of more than .se, maybe new top-level domains? Do we consider ourselves as a supplier of registry business? So there are loads of different strategies you can choose. And we will come into it when we talk about new top-level domains. Bit of facts from our side. Steep growth after our moment of deregulation, which is continuing. We have about 56% market share, nearly 30% private users right now, 6% IDN. Our renewal rate is a bit less than 90%. There's a small difference between private users and business users there. What does it say? That in average, we have every customer has 1.89 domain name, and we have 19 customers that have more than 500 domain names in Sweden. So you can—it's still possible to know them by name, and to call them and have contact with them. So in that sense, I think it's. It's deliberated and it's quite open, but still the amount of customers that have a lot of domain names is very small. But they have 25,000 domain names. So, and that's growing, so something is happening there. Is it good or bad? Actually, as a registry, I don't say it's good or bad, to be honest. If we have free registration, then we have free registration. And we know that a lot of the domain names are taken for purposes which we actually never thought of from the beginning, but that's the way it is. 13 euro annual fee is actually not that far away from the finish, to be honest. We don't do any price changes. We will do it when we have, we will go over next year to a registrar model. Then we will have a wholesale price and an end user price. And, but all, let's say, all the surveys we have say that, that people are fine with the price. So, why lower it then? And, what we see, for instance, in our distribution channel, so what we use right now, we use resellers, and then next year we will call them registrars because we will give them more responsibility, a bit like the model in Norway. what we see there is that they use a business model where they nearly give away quite a lot the domain name to get a hosting package sold. And that is actually, even though we have 200 registrars and a lot of them don't have this model, but still these are the ones that are most popular right now. I like marketing, I like this campaigning, I like branding. So we are, I think, from the four of us, the most active on that part. I think it's important to have a branding related to .se domain. I want them to use .se, not .com or .no or .fi or .nu or whatever it is. So that's my business. I want you, everybody here, to take .se. And it's nice that I have a distribution channel that sells .se, but in the end, it's my responsibility, as I can see it, for branding it. Why normally if you go to a mobile telephone shop and then depending on who's giving the subsidy, the person who's doing the deal would say, oh, your Nokia is best or your Ericsson is best, depending how much money he will make on it. So I want actually the customers go into the shop and say, I want to have a Nokia from the beginning. So I want them to go into the shop and say, I want to have .se. Our top 10 has 74% market share now. Our top 3 has nearly 50%. It's very concentrated. You see more and more Danes and Norwegians coming into our market as on the registrar level. But one of the things I'd look at still is the last thing is that still our registrars are very small. Young companies, are they robust? What would happen if Google would give away hosting for free? It's one of the sessions that comes after the lunch. But it's something that we constantly think of. What will happen if you have, let's say, as maybe is going to happen now, our economy will not grow that fast anymore. And do they have money enough to survive? It's something where I see it's our responsibility. Here are the market shares of our 10 biggest registrars. Not that big differences compared to last year. Number 6, Web Consultant I Jämtland is something new. I think that wasn't there 1 year ago. Otherwise, there's Bineo, the third one, came up also very strong. Otherwise, it's quite stable. Branding, which we do twice a year. Once we did it with the Football Association here, you could say we it might be a famous person. This is also why we did it. We had a magazine called Punkt.se, which has stopped already, which is nice. But it still happens every day. If I say I work for .se, then, oh, that magazine. And they think I'm a poor lad that doesn't have a job anymore. So it's very important still to make sure that's the problem with a top-level domain. You can't own it. You can't, let's say, as a property or brand, what is it? You can't register. Only in Poland, I think, they managed to do that. We're very active on PR also. We do the campaigning and the subsidization with the registrars. For instance, I think quite soon we will see campaigning starting again, because I would like to see a domain as a Christmas present, especially towards private users. So actually my board asked me to put more focus on private users. So that's what I'm starting to do then, which is a problem because I don't sell myself. So I only can ask all my dear registrars and resellers, could you please concentrate on private users? Some of them say yes, others say get lost. But anyhow, that's what we're trying to do this year. This year was a lot about going over to a registrar system and model. We've come a long way now. We've sent out new registrar contracts. About 50 of them have returned. We do certify the staff, but they have to go through tests, and we do testing on a technical level also. I don't know, maybe a year ago I would think that we would have 80 registrars when we go over to the new model. I think right now actually we will have a bit more, so maybe 100. What we will also do from next year is actually open up .se Direct. So apart from having the registrars, there's a direct registration possibility. But doing a registration there is actually nearly six times as expensive. But the renewal fee, there you don't have a difference between five times. Then it's the wholesale price will be 80 krona, and our end user price after renewal is 140. What we're doing now is actually we're cleaning our reserved list. A lot of domain names left there. Now we are, I think, in the middle of December, we will free the geographical names. We have a couple of names left still. We have to discuss what to do with them, but probably they will come then next year. We have a new DNS check, which I think is very good. We had a different approach towards DNSSEC. Mainly also after the Kaminsky book, we thought it's important to increase the penetration of DNSSEC. To be honest, my expectation is by the end of next year that 20% of our zone, 20% of all .se domains will be signed. That's where I'm striving at. We had opened up with credit card payment. Next year, then, for us, it's very much concerning this going over to the new model. I think that's nearly enough for 1 year to do. We've started discussions with the registrars how we get an increase of private users, which will be a focus area next year. I want to see a mass deployment of DNSSEC in Sweden. So either, let's say, our registrars will start to work with DNSSEC, or I will find myself another way. But I would like to see DNSSEC implemented and deployed. We've given the registrars now more than 1 year time to learn. And we train you, we tell you why and how, but we have to do it. We look at improvements of our alternative dispute resolution. Right now, actually, I like very much Nominet's mediation program, which is rewarded and has been working very well for them. It's also a quick and a fairly cheap way of solving a lot of the matters. So we're looking at that one also. And actually, we're looking quite closely at TLD bidding, top-level domain, which I actually find very interesting. I think it's fun, this possibility. So with that, I would like to ask my colleagues to come and that we sit here. This is a bit what's going to happen if you have new top-level domain. Right now, we have about 300, mostly CCTLDs, country codes, top-level domains. And I don't know exactly how many more you will have, but let's say we have 5,000. That's a figure I heard in Los Angeles once a while on an ICANN meeting. But what happens then is that it's like fuel into a sector, then it opens up because a lot of these TLD managers maybe don't know how to run a registry or don't have any registry system. They don't have staff or policies, and they don't have a registrar network, a sales channel. So there are a couple of different things you can think of as a strategy being an existing TLD manager and an existing registry. Shall we be a registry for more TLDs? A lot of companies you see already thinking about it. Shall we get ourselves a couple of more top-level domains or not? So this is actually what is very new in our sector. Okay. What? Somebody else has a question regarding the presentations. Eva.
Surprising. I have a question. Oh, sorry. Yes, ska jag prata en här också. Okay. Yes, I have a question for Norway and Finland. As you are the two that restrict domain name holders to have a local presence. And I'm wondering how you view that within your countries there are quite many companies set up purely to act as proxy registrants for companies outside of Finland, respective Norway, which means that you have, in fact, no clue who is the registrant, the real registrant behind what's in your WHOIS database. So I'm wondering what your view is about that.
Okay, I can start. The first part is the local requirement is there because the local internet community wants it to be there. Secondly, when you have rules, there will always be people that try to get around the rules. That doesn't necessarily mean that rules are wrong. I mean, the government in Norway hasn't stopped trying to get tax from people just because other people try to avoid paying tax. So those two basic assumptions out of the way, onto the real question. What we have in our database is the registrant of the domain name, is the one legally responsible for the domain name in case of conflicts, and is then clearly bound by Norwegian law because they're part of, they're situated in Norway, they're registered in the Norwegian business database, that they have chosen to act on behalf of someone else that doesn't have a business in Norway is a choice that they are free to make. But if you run a business that actually trades in Norway and you pay tax because of that, you have a business registration in Norway and you can get a Norwegian domain name. So if you then need to use a proxy company, that's probably because you don't trade in Norway. And we don't have rules really restricting you from then having deals with people who do trade?
Yes, it seems that in Finland we have a fairly similar situation regarding to Norway. We also demand that the company must be registered in Finnish Patent and Registry Administration or organ, and we have no way of knowing who are the actual owners behind the companies, so there's no way of knowing that. Concerning to the private persons, we only want them to have address in Finland, but they don't have to be Finnish citizens. That's the rule in Finland.
Yes, if you want to comment.
I think one of the reasons why we in Denmark have decided not to have this requirement about some local presence is, first of all, that this is a global medium, and we don't want to restrict any, neither registrant nor registrars, from using a .dk domain, regardless of where they are in the world. And the reason why we can do that is that the ultimate sanction is available for us in any situation. We just close the domain name if there's a problem. And that will force a lot of people, even though that they are situated in Hong Kong or Singapore or South Africa or whatever, if they don't abide by our rules, if they don't abide by Danish rules, they don't have a domain name anymore.
Yeah, I can understand that. I also see a slightly different between Norway and Finland, as Finland is a part of the EU, whilst Norway is not. And I'm wondering how the restriction of being registered within the Finnish local authorities, company authorities, stems with the free trademark and free marketing, free trading within the EU.
Well, when the Act on Domain Name was launched in year 2003, we contacted the EU before and asked what are their recommendations regarding to that fact as well. And we got the permission to do the law as it is now, but we are aware that that might be something that we are going to have to change in future. It seems that the times have changed, that, and the answer we got at that time may not be relevant anymore, but that is something we have to look at it in future.
Do you have any plans for when you are looking into it, and Norway, when you are doing your review of the rules, are you thinking of looking into this as well?
If I can start, in Finland it requires a change in law, and that is always a very slow process. We have gathered a memo regarding the things we want to improve and implement and add into the next version of law, and that is under consideration in the Ministry of Transport and Communications. But I think the process is so slow, it takes several years, that we have to have all the possible things we want to change and do it, so it will take a few years. We don't have any specific timetable yet.
In Norway, we do regular reviews of the basic parts of the rules to see whether there's need for change. For example, like reviewing whether there should be a quota on 20 domain names or not, whether there should be a local requirement, and whether there should be a requirement for there to be an organization or a private individual. The last review of the local requirement, I think, was in 2006, and we will probably do another one when we're finished with the current review on private individual domain names. But we do regular checks that the rules are really in tune with what the local internet community in Norway wants. So far, we haven't had any signals from the local internet community in Norway that this is a rule that they really want changed.
And I can understand why, knowing how many companies are set up as acting as proxy registrants for non-Norwegian companies. It's a marketing issue for, or business opportunity for Norwegian companies.
More questions? If you wait a second.
Hello, I'm Angus Chung from Macau. I was invited to come to this conference by the World Internet Institute of Sweden. I very much enjoyed this talk because I come here to learn how to, because the Macau government, I don't know whether you know where it is. It's a very a tiny dot next to Hong Kong. Our government is reviewing the domain registration. Now we restricted, just like the case in Norway, we don't allow the individual to register, have a domain name. Only organization can have the, can register the domain name. My question does more domain names mean the better development of the internet? This is my first question. Is the number of domain name the a good indicator of the development of the internet? This is my first question. And the second question, is there any negative effect on the openness for the individual registration? These are two questions.
Okay, if I start, then, is there a relationship between the amount of domain names and, let's say, how successful the market works, or how do you call it then? I would say no. Let's say a lot of. If you look at the different trends, where I think the growth of the amount of domain names can be easily manipulated depending on the policy or the pricing. I think a famous example was Belgium a couple of years ago that went from 600,000 to 1.3 million in 3 months. They had a free offer. And of course, everybody that likes to speculate, they got themselves a couple of thousand domain names, and they could play with it for 1 year. So it's easily possible to have a very steep growth if you want that. Let's say we could have 1 million .se domains by the end of next year also. So it's a balance act, I think, we all try to do, is keeping the quality and but keeping it open. Then again, let's say that there is still some sort of relationship between the openness of registration and the growth of the amount of domain names, but it's very much also the penetration of broadband, the penetration of internet, the GDP of a country. So there's so many key performance indicators that have an effect. So I would be very doubtful to see that, say, just because you have a lot of domain names, then it's better than if you don't have. Looking at Poland right now, there's a very political undertone that they want to grow because they want to show at least that they can be a bit like Germany, also big and big registry. So they open up completely for domainers. They send out all the, let's say, the list and information they have. They're the only ones that I believe have started with domain tasting when they knew the effects of domain tasting.
I think I would be a little bit more sure, a little bit more steadfast in the sense that I think there is a positive relation. I think, of course, there are always exceptions to the rules, but if you look at different countries, and of course, it's not important whether you have 700,000 or 900,000, but if you look at the trend and you see that the numbers of domain names per capita is rising, then I think it's very likely that this would be an indicator of things are going in the right direction with respect to internet use in that country. Of course, there are a lot of other things, and of course, it's always very important to keep the balance. It's a balance in the act all the time, but I think this is a very good example of how regulation... how you should be very careful about having too restrictive regulation as you're supposed to be with respect to all internet regulation at the moment. I think there are some parallels to net neutrality here. That you know, if you in the interest of making everything secure and predictable, makes it too cumbersome for a lot of people, also maybe too smart people, too smart businessmen, to register individuals who just want to try it out. Then you miss some opportunities. I think that we should be very careful not to, to restrict it too much.
I think there's been some marketing research done by Center on looking at what effects does different policies actually have on growth. The problem that was seen then, and Center, for those of you who don't know, is a coalition of different registries in Europe and a few from outside of Europe. And what was identified was that if there was a high broadband penetration inside the country, then there was also most likely a high number of domain names. But that means only that the broadband penetration indicates that there will be a high number of domain names, not necessarily that the other direction, that you have a lot of domain names means that you have a highly developed internet penetration in your country. What was also seen was that policy effects like opening up, there were too few data to actually make a positive correlation, especially in regards to opening up for private individuals, where the models totally against what anyone believed was reality, said that, well, if you open up for that, you will have a negative effect on growth. And I don't think that's true, but that just shows how complex those models are and also how difficult it is to know what will happen on based on policy. What we have seen, as you saw from my presentation, is that the policy changes we have made hasn't really had a sustainable effect on the growth of the domain name. The underlying exponential growth was there already, and we had sort of peaks that went up and down. Now, that might be because Norway is totally weird. Who knows? Or it might be because it's an underlying law. We don't have enough data from other registries to really know what's going to happen. But my advice would be to look at what other people have done in liberalization processes and to be very careful on knowing what your local internet community wants, because that's the best success criteria you're going to get. If you want to know more about what different people in Europe has done, we can talk in the break, because I've done a study on different policy development processes to get some background when we were going to do things and now when we're going to look into opening for private individuals directly under the root or not. We're doing some of the same thing like asking other registries, because it's the best way to learn.
I don't think I have anything to add regarding to the first part of your question compared to my colleagues, but regarding to the other part of the private individuals, I think in Finland we made a slight mistake when we were liberalization made in 2003 that we didn't open to private persons at the same time, because the demand was there, the market was there, but the change was for us so huge. We had so restricted policy before the liberalization, we couldn't take the risk. We had to see what happened with the companies first. And now it seems that we don't get the private persons, although we want them. And we don't know exactly what's the reason, like the Norwegians don't know why they sell domain names so well, so who would have the answer to that, but I think in Finland many private persons are using other channels. They don't think that their own domain name is so important. They log into Facebook, they use the IRC, they use different channels to do the things they want to do in the internet. So that's a big challenge for us, how to sell the domain names to them.
More questions?
I have two questions, actually. One of them has to do with, and both of them are about data points that maybe you can provide us some idea, if not precise numbers. One of them has to do with longevity of domains. So all of you spoke about how many your renewal rates, but I'm curious if the domains that drop are long-running, how many of them are long-running domains, and how many of them are fairly new domains, things that were registered for a year or two, and then people decided to drop it. Or maybe it was some form of spam or domain squatting, I don't know, one of those things. And my second question has to do with domain squatting, in fact. I work for Google, actually, and we see a lot of domains that, you know, they have a lot of ads on their pages and stuff like this. And so we've seen interesting growth depending on the kind of policies that your registrars have. And so I was kind of curious whether you've noticed this kind of growth in domains which are not really registered for business or private purpose, but, you know, for this kind of basically business of domain squatting, in a sense. So longevity and domain squatting.
If I start, then your first question is actually a very detailed question. It's nearly better than if I sent you the analysis, because you want to have an age analysis for the different groups also. For instance, like 70% of the private users will not renew after the first year. It's that type of statistics. That is better than we talk after the session, and I'll give you a bit more detailed information on that one. Because what we do, we have for every year, you can see, let's say the biggest hurdle is the first year. We only have a 1 year registration, and 70% renews for private, and business it's 85%, and then it gets higher for every year. Your second question regarding use of domain names for other business, I don't know exactly what other business is then, but let's say if we can concentrate on pay-per-click or this type of business or speculation of sales. We have on our web page, we do analysis, and we give the information public there. So I think it's about 2.2% of our domain names right now we consider as PPC, and then PPC for commercial. You have, of course, you have domains that are parked, but it's just that they are parked. It's not a big market. It's not like .com where you have 22-23% in that area. Sweden is a small country, and the internet advertising market is not that big. And you have to be very professional if you want to make money out of .se domains, I think. But it's a growing market, I believe. It's coming.
Yeah, I think also with respect to the numbers related to longevity, I will refer you to speak to Pierre Kutter, who's sitting there, who's the head of DK Hostmaster. He can give you all the details on that. With respect to the other question, I think that this is really an example of one of the most complex questions that we have been trying to deal with. The fact that the DNS system is not made for trademark holders or big business, it's made for internet users. And internet users are also private individuals or new innovative companies that have new business models. And this is very important to us, and we have a lot of fights on our board trying to figure out who should we now try to give preference to existing businesses or to existing rights holders of different sorts, or should we allow this to be a medium that is relatively open and unsecure so a lot of people can use it for new things. And the way that we solve this is to have this domain name complaint board, which is a board that takes into consideration the law as it is, not new special designed rules for this medium, but the law as it is, so that they can use the general principles and try to apply them instead of us trying to stifle innovation by presenting new types of rules on this area that will always carry a bias towards the existing use or the existing, the big business, the monopolies, the right owners, and so on.
Okay, thank you for two very good questions, which I don't have really the answers to because we don't have that kind of data analysis. I can give you a few sort of feelings. The 95% renewal rate is constant from that was what it was last year and this year and so on, so it tends to be that domains seem to live fairly long in .no space, possibly because we have a quota and people think very hard whether, even if they don't really need the full 20, they think, oh, but perhaps do I really need that other domain name before they register it? So I think they, from what we've seen, they tend to live long. As for domain squatting, we've seen little of squatting there is, and we and you have been hit by it, from what I've seen from some of the complaint boards lately. But we do have a dispute resolution body that takes care of those kind of things, and there are fewer complaints on domain names than there are, for example, on the requisite number of used car sales. So it's not like the internet is a very lawless place where people do whatever they like. So that's on the squatting. On the traffic part, we're not really sure how much actually goes on to being sort of traffic sites, and we need to get a way of measuring that just to understand the market better.
Yes, to the first part of your question, unfortunately, I either don't have any statistics or direct answer to give to you, but concerning to the second part of the question, in Finland, our law defines very, very exactly what can be applied for and what can be granted, and also the responsibilities for the applier and for us too. And all the cases that are there are something to complain for. Our lawyers are dealing with the dispute resolution process. We are dealing it ourselves, and the cases we have per year are approximately 50. To 70. The amount is very, very small. I think the market in Finland for that type of thing is very, very small. We don't have a problem with that.
Okay, actually we have to finish and close off this session. we all will be around here, so if you have more questions, just try to grab us. Thank you for being with us. Have a good lunch.